what's wrong about that clip, he says, fear's not real. Fear is real. If it wasn't real, God wouldn't speak to us in his word. He says in his word, for 365 times in his word, fear not. Fear not. Why would he speak that 365 times? How many days do we have in a year?
365.
Wow. Our God knows that we're going to face fear. The thing about fear is, fear is the opposite of what?
Love.
Okay. Faith. You either walk in faith or you walk in fear. And that's where God speaks to us as his children. Fear is real. But as he said right there, it's a product of your imagination. How do we get a product of our imagination unless we don't see it first or hear it first? So to get fear, we have to hear it from the world. We have to see it. You ever wonder why most people are afraid of flying? I think it's because ladies that serve you. Thank you. Appreciate that, Laura. The flight attendants come out and they say, in the case of an accident, in the case if the plane is going down, what are you supposed to do first? You're supposed to take that respirator for oxygen and put it on you first. Most of us would think, I'm going to put it on my children first. But no, you got to put it on you first. So why? So you can take care of your children and others around you. God tells us in his word many, many times about fear. Like I said, 365 times he tells us to fear not. Fear not. I'm going to go through some verses today. I'd like some people to help me read it, if you would, any volunteers. There are a lot of verses, and we're kind of going to go through them, but I just want people to see these things. Now, I'm going to kind of use my own testimony of where I've come from, things I've gone through. And I believe I want to use that because that's God's story, not mine. Because I'm standing here before you right now, because by the word of fear from people's mouths, from statistics, and everything, I should not be standing here before you. Over 12 years ago, I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and given 6 months to live. I have people in this room that can testify to that. And there was a scripture the night I got diagnosed, God gave me. Like everybody turned to Isaiah 41:10.
There is a YouVersion event created too, if you have your YouVersion app.
Oh, that's right, YouVersion app. We have a created event in there. Thank you, Tim. And Tim, I want to thank you. Thank you for asking me to speak. What's really funny is that when you asked me to speak, I was like, yeah, I've got exactly what I want to speak on. And here I am thinking, yep, I know exactly what I'm going to speak on. And then all of a sudden, God says, nope, you're going to speak on this. That's how he works. So, I mean, we can even work on as much things as we want, and all of a sudden, I got it done. I'm ready to go. No, God will change his plan on you.
You said 31?
41. Isaiah 41:10. Do I have a volunteer to read that?
So, Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
And Laura, would you mind reading verse 13?
For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee.
When I was diagnosed with cancer, the night that I found out, my whole world came crashing down. Everything that I built, and then I say that, I built, came crashing down. God sometimes has a weird sense of humor, I kind of say, and will change your situation because he has something better for you. Yeah. And a lot of times we look at things and think, oh my God, this is incredible. I never thought my world would come crashing down like this. I've done everything I've done. I've raised my little girl. I've done this. I'm doing this. I've gone through this. But all of a sudden, your world comes to a halt. And that's how it feels right now. I mean, we're in a peculiar time. Of all my years of living, I have never, ever seen the whole planet, not just the United States of America, the whole planet come to a halt. Have you? I remember the swine flu. Nothing like that happened under that. There were more people that died under that. There were more cases than that, than what we have now. And nothing was done. I remember SARS. Mm-hmm. Nothing was done. I believe what we didn't have at that time as much as possible, we did have it, but I think we have more of it now today, and it's called negative media of fear. We choose. I like what Will said in that. It says it's an imaginative thought. Now, fear is real because, like I said, if it is not real, God would not mention it in His Word. So for God to mention it in His Word, He knew that we were going to face it. But He's always given us a way out. See, we're to walk by faith, not by fear. Fear is how Satan gets us. Satan cannot get into your mind. But he can put things in front of you to get into your mind.
Suggestive fear.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. The battle is in the mind. That's where it's at. That's why God says in His Word that the Word of God is the water of the Word. Why does He call it the water of the Word? To wash and renew the mind. Why would we have to wash and renew the mind? Because God knew that we would be seeing things in the world that are evil, that are negative, that are speaking fear into our lives, that we would have to. How does it say that we grow in faith? By hearing what?
The word.
Of what?
God.
Exactly. So we either have the word of God we listen to, or we have the word of Satan we listen to. What's going to change you? That's what we pray for. That's what God wants us for. That's why He's given us His Word. Because, see, many people are walking in fear. We see it out there now. They're buying all the toilet paper up. I don't know what they're fearful of that, but they're buying all the toilet paper. And people are stocking up. Our nation is at a halt. But what are we supposed to do?
Walk in faith.
Exactly. God says, He gave me this scripture the night I was diagnosed. And He said to me, because I was at a standstill. And it was me, all by myself. And I opened up the Word of God. I was just, you know, I don't know if you've ever had that day. You just open up the Word of God and say, God, You've got to talk to me now. And you just put your finger on that Word. And this was it. Isaiah 41:10, God said, do not fear. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now, that right there strengthened my faith. Just hearing that, because I just heard a doctor say, you've got tumors. You've got not only tumors in your colon, but you have five of them in your liver. Size of golf balls. I don't know what I was going to do. But what I did know is I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He also says in Psalm 56:3-4, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? So many people are walking in the state of fear because they're walking right now. You're either walking in the word of Satan or you're walking in the word of God. Anytime Satan comes to you, he's always going to do something opposite of God. But he's always going to imitate God. I'm going to say that again. He always comes at you the opposite of God, but he imitates God. Why? Because he wants to be God. So, if God has a word, Satan has a word. But what's so awesome about it is God knows his word very well, and he warns his children about it. He says, your adversary walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom to devour. That's what God's word tells us. So what are we supposed to do? Exactly. And by knowing the word, what it does for us, it helps us to prepare how to combat that. And God gives us that word. He says, resist the devil and he will flee. Resist fear and he will flee. What Will Smith said in that is imaginative thought. It's what you do with that fear that matters. You either walk in fear and your bones will crumble, or you walk in faith and you use that fear to lift your faith. What I mean by that, I'm going to give a story about Rahab. Rahab was actually Jesus Christ's great, 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 and go down the line, grandmother. And she was in Jericho. And there was a great fear that fell over all the people of Jericho. Whenever they heard of the Israelites, they heard the Israelites were going to come. They were going to destroy them. They were going to take them down. Now remember, Rahab worshipped pagan gods. Total pagan gods. She didn't know or believe in this God. But what she did know is the stories of this God. How that God delivered his people from Egypt. All the stories and all the miracles. That's what she did know. So she had a fear when the Israelites came to them. They were spies. They came. And she had to hide them from the king's men of Jericho. Now she had a choice. She had a fear of that government. A fear of that time. If you're holding the enemy, it's treason. Still is today. But it's treason. And the penalty is death. So she had that fear that she had death to face. But she chose a different fear. And that was a fear of the living God. Why? By the story she heard. Was she there? She wasn't there. But she heard it. People spoke about it. And that's what God calls us to do. Are we to walk in fear in this of the coronavirus? No. I'm not saying that this coronavirus isn't real. I'm not saying that people aren't going to get it. Okay? But we're to walk in faith in this time and situation. That's what he calls us to. Not to walk in fear, but to walk in faith. And that more miracles will happen. People will see the miracles. And they will hear the stories of God. And they will come. So, in other words, Rahab had two fears. One fear was to the government. If I hide these spies and they find out, and that army comes in here, and they find out that I hid them, she's lying to the government. Or she had the fear of the Lord. And that's what she decided to act on. Now, when I was going through cancer, I had fear. I'm not going to lie to you. It was the most fearful time of my life. I thought I was going to lose my daughter, my mom and my dad, my family, my business. You know what's really incredible about all that? I did. I lost it all, except for my daughter, my relationship with Jesus. I still have my mom, but my dad passed away when I was supposed to pass away. But things happen in our life for a reason. Jesus told his disciples to get into a boat. And we're going to go to the other side. They got in the boat. They went across the Sea of Galilee. They're in that boat. While they're in that boat, a big storm comes up. But the funny thing about it is Jesus is asleep. Jesus is asleep in the bow. And all his disciples are freaking out. They go, oh my God, look at the storm, look at the storm. And they wake up Jesus. And they say to Jesus, do you not care that we're facing death? pretty much what they said. They were scared. They had fear. Why? Because what they saw all around them, it's what they saw is what created their action. What they heard is what created their action. And Jesus said, ye of little faith. Didn't I say we're going to go to the other side? And then he said, peace, be still. Why did he say that? I kind of look at that and I read that and I say, you know what? There's a storm all around us, but there's peace in that storm. And Jesus was speaking to the peace in that storm to be still. Peace, be still. He's speaking to peace. He is peace. And that's where God wants to bring us. He wants to show us that when you walk in fear, you don't have peace. You don't have the, what is it that everybody wants? You ever thought about that? What is it that everybody wants? Protection? They want to feel peace. They want to feel secure. That's what everybody wants. And they want to feel loved. Everybody wants that. That's what we all seek for. But as I was reading in Psalms 34:4, he says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. So on that night when I was diagnosed with cancer, he gives me that word, fear not, for I'm with you. I will uphold you with my upright arm. I had to either believe that or say, oh, it's a bunch of words. Or I had to listen to the other voice, the fear. You got 6 months to live. There's nothing we can do. We can change the cocktail. I can tell you that when I went through this, I prayed through the whole journey. I asked God what to do. I had a doctor here in Dallas that was willing to let me die. Thank God I had my sister, who's my caretaker, my lovely angel in life, that said, wait a minute, come with me. But through all this, I wanted to show you something. My sister lived down in Houston, and there's a hospital down there called MD Anderson. Beautiful hospital. I had so many people coming to me and saying, take this herb, do this, do that, do this, do that. I had so many voices. I can't tell you how many voices were coming at me. We're telling me, do this, do that. You don't want to do chemo. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. But you know what? It was so loud that I had to get alone with God. And I had to say, okay, what do you want me to do? See, I don't care what the media says. I don't care what the government's saying. I don't care what everybody is saying out there. We got to get into that point where we say, God, what do you want me to do? And that's where he always speaks to me in his word. And he spoke to me. I said, God, I know you can heal me on the spot. I believe that fully in my heart. I know right now you could heal me because your word says it. Your word in Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. So I said, God, I am healed. You've already spoken in your word that I am healed. So I know in the physical realm, you can heal me immediately right here, and I can walk away from this. But what do you want me to do? And he took me to his word. It's an area where Naaman wanted to speak to Samuel so bad. Samuel was a prophet. He wanted Samuel to touch him because he had leprosy. He wanted him to touch him on his hand. He said, if the prophet just touched me, I'll be healed. Samuel stood out and he wouldn't even go out there. Think about that. A man of God, a prophet, would not go out and touch someone to heal them. And he told him, he said, nah, you go out there to the Jordan and you dip 7 times in that water. Naaman was mad. He was angry. And he had a servant with him at that time. And he was so mad and angry, and he's just standing there and he's going, I cannot believe that the man of God, that prophet, would tell me to dip in this river. It's the most toxic river in all of Israel, and there are cleaner rivers all around. And the servant man just looked at him and said, man, why don't you just do what the man of God said? Stop your whining. Stop your griping. Stop worrying about what everybody else sees. Just do what God is saying to do. Well, Naaman does it, and he does it, you know, mad about it and everything. He dips in it 7 times, the most toxic river in the area. He does it 7 times, and he comes up healed. Well, people, that's how God spoke to me. I asked him, do you want me to go through chemo? I'll go through chemo. I don't want to go through chemo, but I'll go through chemo. And he spoke to me to dip into the toxic river 7 times. So I did. But if God would have healed me on the spot, I would never have met the people that I met on that journey if I wouldn't have gone through that toxic river. That's the most awesome part of the story, is the people I got to meet. The people I was with. The people like Tim, who was with me and ministered to many people in the area that were taking chemo. We got to see a lot of people taking chemo. I had what we called the biggest Christmas tree. You walked in there, I had the most. You can ask Tim. He'll tell you. I had the most chemo going in. Everybody else, and there were people there that did die that had less chemo than me. But I had opportunity to talk to them. I had opportunity to share the stories. To share the stories that Rahab knew. That's what God wants us to do. When he never said there would not be storms in our life. All he said is he would be the peace amongst that storm. And we got to believe that. We got to walk in that. We got to know that. There's another scripture talking about fear, right? I'm talking about sickness and disease. But in 2 Timothy 1:7, God says, for the Spirit of God gave us, does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. I like what it says actually in the New King James Version, is that God does not give us a spirit of fear. He does not give us a spirit of fear. He does not give it a spirit of confusion. If you're confused about something, if something doesn't feel right, and it's like, well, this isn't right. That's God speaking to you. That's God speaking to you by his still small voice of his spirit saying, walk this way, not that way. We're going through a very uneasy time. You're going to hear a lot of things. You're going to hear a lot of things coming from one side and the other side. And I'm going to tell you right now, beyond a shadow of a doubt in what God has shown me, there is a war. There is a battle. There is a right-out, bloodthirsty war for our country right now. And today, I believe that's why God has called on our president. No matter if you agree with him, if you like him, if you don't, doesn't make any difference. There's been a lot of presidents in my lifetime that I did not like. And I did not care about their policies. I didn't like their personalities. It didn't make any difference. But I said, I did do this. God commands us to pray for our leaders. Yes. Why? So that we would live in peace. That's why. So it doesn't matter if I agree with them or if I don't agree with them. I pray for them. I give them to God and I say, God, give him wisdom. He's leading our nation. Now, people don't understand this. It's God that sets kings in places, not man. So if you don't like the person that's in there, it's not the person you have a problem with. It's God you have a problem with. And I learned that from many presidents that I've seen down the line that I didn't like. And I said, I don't like this guy, but God said, it's none of your business. You are to pray for that man or that woman in office, senator, house, president, vice president, doesn't make any difference. For your nation to be in peace. It also says in the Bible that a righteous man rules, the people prosper. And the evil man rules, we don't prosper. Mm-hmm. There's pain.
Well, Esther was a Jew, and she was married to Xerxes, I think that's, and he was a pagan king.
Mm-hmm.
He was not a Jew, and he had men killing Jews. And but she stood beside him and she prayed for him, and she had her people pray for him and fast for him and her, and it made a difference in everything.
Always does.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you said that, because I think we're in a time, our president has called for a National Day of Prayer for March 15th, which is today. And it's for not only our nation, I don't think it's just for our nation, it's for the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
We've got something that's coming against us that none of us have ever seen. I've read about in the past. I've seen movies about it in the past. Never ever thought it would happen. But you know what? It did. Because it's during these times, and if you ever look at history, it's during the times of persecution. It's during the times when things are taken away. It's during the times of pain when people draw to God. One thing I saw when I was walking through cancer, there's two types of people. If you get a debilitating disease like that, and mine was malignant, so it meant that I would have cancer forever, pretty much. You're going to die. Everybody thinks it's a death wish. Well, if you take it as a death wish, it will be a death wish. But if you take it in God's word and what he says about it, it can be an incredible journey. Maybe not pain-free, because it's painful. But it's an incredible journey that you get to go through.
With God.
With God. Mm-hmm. And see him touch people's lives. And I've always said, and I've told Tim, I said, I don't want to ever do it again, but if you ever call me to go through it again, I have to. I'll go through it. I don't want to. And those disciples, they didn't want to go through that storm again on that sea. But he calmed it down. But Jesus said, didn't I say, we're going to get to the other side. Let's go to the other side. He's told all of us we're going to go to the other side. We're just in the middle of the Galilee right now, Sea of Galilee, and there's a storm amongst us. I like what, you know, go back to the scriptures in here about sickness and disease. Saw in Isaiah 53:5 that it says that the punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. In Matthew 4:23-24. Someone have that? Like to read that for me?
Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them.
Look at that. Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues or teaching in their churches. He went throughout all that area teaching and healing, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. And what does it say right there? News about him. Not fake news. Real news. Just like Rahab heard stories of the deliverance of the Israelites in Egypt, people heard the stories of Jesus healing people. And people went to him. Then in Luke 9:1-2, would someone like to read that one?
Luke 9:1-2, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick.
So when Jesus called the 12 together, what did he give them? And what else?
Power.
Exactly. See, we're going through a men's Bible study about 12 ordinary men. These were disciples, 12 people, just like us. Fisherman, tax collector, name it.
Insurance guy.
Probably an insurance guy too, yeah. Think about that. So these are 12 ordinary men. But he said, I have given you power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. That's what he's given us. We're to believe that. We're to stand on that. Now, does that mean that everybody's going to be healed? No. Because people do get sick and they die. That happens. But maybe we are that Jesus to come into their lives to give them hope.
And peace.
And peace. Mm-hmm. That's the main thing. Is peace. In Luke 9:6 it says, so they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. So in other words, Jesus went out and he preached. He healed the sick and the disease, all that stuff, cast out demons. Then he said to his 12, I've given you all power and authority. What did they do? They acted on it. It says they went out from village to village proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Mark 6, 12 to 13 says they went out and preached that people should repent. Where did they get that from? Well, it says that Jesus was preaching in the synagogues. I'm sure he was preaching in the streets. The first thing Jesus said, you must repent. What does repent mean?
Turn
around. If you're going down a street and you got a bridge that's out, and there's a sign that says, bridge out. Are you going to keep on walking? Are you going to keep on driving down that road? No. You're going to turn around and make a different decision. That's what repent means. And that's what Jesus was saying. He says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And they went out. They did the exact same thing he did. Paul even told Timothy, imitate me. Do what I do. That's what they were doing. They were imitating Jesus. They saw only what they saw, what they heard, and they know. Then they went and they acted on it. Faith without works is what?
Dead.
So they acted on their faith by walking out and saying, I've seen Jesus do this. I know this. I know this. I know that. And I know Jesus. So they went out and they preached. People came to the Lord. They healed the disease. It says here, they went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. I like what it says in the book of Acts. If someone has that, Acts 5, 15 through 16. Please read that.
I got it.
Okay.
As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats, so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by.
Mm-hmm.
Crowds gathered also from the towns and around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed.
Wow. Think about that scripture. They brought the people out, laid them on beds and mats, so that when Peter was walking by, that his shadow would heal them. That's amazing to me. I pray that God, I don't know how he did that. I don't know if my shadow's ever healed anybody. I do know that my prayer of faith has. I've seen it with my own eyes. But they laid out beds and Matt, so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. This is how much people believed that they could be healed. How are we walking? Are we walking in that stance when people come into our lives and they look and they say, I know you're a believer. I know I need your prayer. But my main aspect is this. It's not my prayer. It's your faith. Because it even says in the Bible that Jesus could not heal the sick, could not do many miraculous things in some areas because of the lack of faith of people. He couldn't. So it takes two things. It takes believing and it takes faith. But you know what? It's not. Does that mean that if somebody doesn't get healed that they didn't have enough faith? No. It does not mean that. It just means that the Bible shows us in many instances where there is a great number of people that do not believe that even Jesus Christ, God Almighty, could not act on what he wanted to do. So faith comes by hearing the word of God. And by faith, Hebrews 1. Does anybody have Hebrews 1? I know that's not in the event today. I apologize. But that just came to my heart and my mind. In Hebrews 1:1, it says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." And see, faith is what we hope for, but yet we do not see it. And that's some people, and every person on the face of this earth has a measure of faith. The Bible shows us that God has given a measure of faith to everyone. It's up to us to exercise it. Just like Will said in that movie clip, it's an imaginative thought. Those thoughts come from the world. How are you going to act on that thought? Are you going to act on what God's word says, or are we going to act on what the world says? Are we going to walk in fear, or are we going to walk in faith? James 5:16 kind of helps us with the healing part and what we have today, like in church. It says, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." And that's what we need each other for. We're struggling in something. We need to be able to confess that to our brother or our sister. Trust them with that, you know, that we could come to them and we could say, I'm having a hard time in this area. I'm struggling. And what does it say? Is we confess our sins to one another and pray for each other so that we may be healed. And sometimes we're not healed because we haven't confessed. There's a sin in our life that God's been working on us and saying, look, I'm going to be pressing on you. I'm going to be pressing on you until you take care of this. Sometimes to take care of that is to go to a fellow brother in Christ, a fellow sister in Christ, that you truly, truly trust, that will hold it in their heart and say, and not judge you. They will love you through this. They will love you through this. They will pray for you through this. And they will help you walk through this. And that's how we become healed. Now, I'm going to end it on this here that our president has called for a national day of prayer. Usually that's in May. How I know that? It's around my birthday. But he's called it for this situation we're in. And in 2 Chronicles 7:14, God says this, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." I just want to end it on that right now because that's where we're at as a nation. The leader has already called for the nation to be in the day of prayer. I think we need to add fasting to that. Yes. I think we are in an unseen time in our life. I know there's many of us that have been here. Well, I mean, I've been here for half a century. That's kind of wild to say. But I've never seen anything like this. And it's okay. It's okay to be scared. It's okay to understand, go, whoa, what's going on? But you know what? Even though whatever's happening, we're to trust in God's word because number one thing, God has everything in his control. Yes. He's not going to allow us to go through something that he's not going to deliver us through. That's right. So, again, thank you, Tim, for letting me speak. And I just want to pray right now, if we all just stand together and just pray for our nation, lift up what's going on in this world at this point in time, ask God to anoint our leaders to not only speak to the people, but to be able to have the divine knowledge on what to do right now. There was a time...
Let's get around the community.
There was a time when I was laying in my hospital bed, and I was sick. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I was sick, but I always told people I was healed. And my daughter came into my hospital room, and she looked at me, and she said, "Daddy, how can you sit up in this bed and have a smile on your face when you're going through this?" I looked at her and I said, "Baby girl," I said, "I've won no matter what. If God decides to heal me on this earth, I stay and I'm healed and I walk according to his plan. If he decides to take me home, I'm healed for eternity. So either way, I'm healed. There's nothing to fear but fear itself." And we had a president that said that. You know, talking about our leaders and everything, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. Why should we even fear fear? God says to walk in faith, not to walk in fear. "Fear not, for I am with you," says the Lord.